This is the Old Trailblazer Broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Missions, the Old Trailblazer Broadcast, where the voice of truth goes out on a regular basis every Sunday across this nation on about 40 stations. And we've been doing that for many, many years. The Lord has given us grace to go on in the midst of all of the things that come upon us daily. So we're asking you to pray with us and pray for us, if you will. And if you're familiar with the Old Trailblazer Broadcast, help us with the broadcast. We're able to take on a new station or two now and then if you'd help us with the broadcast. And most of you know we hardly ever ask for help or ever ask for money. The Lord provides the money. But if the Lord lays it on your heart, we appreciate it. And we bring you this study in the book of Revelations. And we come down now to the 16th chapter. The great day of his wrath has come. That's the central theme of the 16th chapter of Revelation. It's the day when God begins to pour out his wrath in the final judgments upon a Christless world. A world that has rejected the Son of God and has turned to the worship of the Antichrist, the son of Satan. So there's nothing left for God to do but to meet the fury and the rebellion of the human heart and the human race with fiery judgment. It is now judgment without mercy. Judgment without mercy. Oh, my friend, how difficult it is for me to even say such a thing. Judgment without mercy. In this 16th chapter, we see seven angels going their ways with the command to pour out the bowls of wrath upon the wrath of God upon the earth. In our last study or two, we looked at three of those vials or bowls. The first was a noisome and grievous sore upon the man which had the mark of the beast. The second judgment was upon the sea, and which became as a corpse, rotting and bringing nothing but death. The third judgment was upon all the fountains of water, and will turn there and will be turned into blood. They shed the blood of the prophets, but God in turn is giving them blood to drink. We come now to the fourth judgment. I hope you'll listen. If you have your Bibles there, turn there to the 16th chapter of Revelation. And let's begin at the 8th verse of the 16th chapter. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given him unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Oh, my friend, they repented not. Ever since God said, let there be light in the firmament, he has made the sun to rise and to shine on the good and the evil alike. But in the days of this great tribulation, it will not only shine on those who worship the beast, but it will scorch them with great fervent heat. Listen then. Even today, you can imagine just a little what it will be like when the intense heat prevails over our cities, which almost turn them into ovens, and the death toll becomes so large it's unnumberable. Stop for a moment, my friend, and realize when this heat has been increased maybe 1,000 times until the sun scorches men with fire, what the result will be. There will be sunstrokes, suffocation, and we'll leave our cities like morgues. If you can use your own imagination just a little, go back and read the first plague in the second verse, where there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men. Then read again the second plague, which says the sea became as blood of a corpse and everything in it died. Then read the third plague, which says the fountains of the water turned to blood. Continue reading the 8th and 9th verses, where the heat of the sun will be so intense that men will be scorched with fire, and you'll begin to realize the intense suffering and the death toll that will result. When I let my mind visualize these awful things of those days, I'm made to praise the Lord for salvation in Christ. Remember now, when we're looking here at the fourth judgment, or the fourth vial, those other three have already taken place. The effects of those vials are still there. The earth is still plagued by the blood, plagued by the noisome pestilence, plagued by those things. Now, let me call your attention to this statement that we found there in the 9th verse. And blaspheme the name of God, which had power over these plagues. This phrase, which had power over these plagues, revealed to us that God who made the sun can also darken the sun, as well as increase its heat at his will. This is God's judgment. Excuse me. Excuse me, I mentioned I'm having a sore throat and a little cold. This is God's judgment upon a rebellious people who would not repent and give him glory. Now, I want to call your attention to this expression. May we just hammer home this today. And they repented not to give him glory. They blasphemed the name of God, and they repented not to give him glory. May I repeat it again and again. And they repented not to give him glory. They wouldn't do it. They would not have it. No, they would not do it. Have you ever seen someone that obstinate, even here in this little mini life that we live? Folks get upset with someone and they won't take the blame for anything. They just have their own way. Pardon me, folks. I have folks who do that. I do. I have folks who have fallen out with the old trailblazer over something that they just couldn't get over. They couldn't give it up. And they never take the blame and say, you know what, Pastor, I'm sorry. Did you know that more homes are broken up in this country of ours? Because no one, neither individual, will say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, my friend, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Nobody does that. You hardly ever hear of anybody doing that. If you catch a politician in some sort of a scheme or something, they don't take the blame. No, they blame it on their subordinates. They blame it on, oh, you just misunderstood. No, instead of coming clean, coming clear with the Lord, taking the blame, and folks would forgive them. But no, sir. Then for the rest of this message, may the Lord lead us into the fountains of the truth of this scripture. They repented not to give him glory. I want to show you from God's word a repentance that produces no salvation, and then contrast it with true repentance. I wish that you and I could see how all men are within the reach of divine judgment of God. There's only one shelter on which an individual may be safe from the divine judgments of the Almighty God, and that is the shed blood of the Christ on Calvary's cross. And I've stated before many, many times, preachers and the Bible teachers of all denominations now, for the last several decades, I believe for the last 100 years, have done their best to take the sword of justice out of the hands of a sovereign God. That's right, my friend. We've given up. We've given up the fact that God is a God of justice. It's come on down to where our homes now, our schools, our educational systems, our homes, we have no justice. We have no judgment. We have no discipline. We have nothing. I've talked to numerous school teachers in the New Orleans school district long before the hurricane, and they said, Pastor, we don't have anybody, any discipline. If a young man uses a four-letter word, calls me something bad, I send him to the principal. They just admonish him, and he goes on home for a couple of days and come back and does the same thing again. But my friend, when I was a child back there in the 1920s and the early 30s, if that would have happened, they took the hide off of my back, and then when I got home, my dad would have taken the hide, the rest of it off, and we had a school bus driver who drove the school bus, and two boys would get into a scrap. He'd take them off the bus, pull his belt off, whip both of them, put them back on the bus. No, they didn't. No, he wasn't arrested, old man. They'd arrest you now. A woman corrects her child in the supermarket now, gives it a little tap on the backside, and they call it law. This woman abused her child. Oh, my friend, but listen. What about when God pours out his judgment? What about when he pours out his judgment? May I say again, the individual who never comes to know the sharp sword of God's justice will never know the love of God that passes knowledge in Christ Jesus. No man can resist the power of God's justice. You may try to blindfold yourself, believe that God is not a just God, but it will do you no good. Who are you to say that God is not just? Who are you to put your little two-bit opinion up against God? Who are you? I often make this analogy. Here's a little old bitty black ant, about the smallest creature you can see with the human eye, walking across, crawling across the sidewalk. And you walk up there, and you see him, and you put your toe in front of him. You know what he does? He doesn't turn around and run. He doesn't scurry for cover. He bows up. He stands up on his hind legs. That's what man does. We think we can fight God. We think we can defeat God. We think we can live like we please, do as we please, and go on to be in paradise when we die. No, we're going to hell. That's what folks don't believe. There's a hell. Folks don't believe it. I've heard a leading evangelist say here on one of the national TV shows not long ago, well, I'm not so sure that there's a living, literal hell. Well, he'll find out. Well, you say, well, he's an evangelist. Well, evangelists be in hell, too. There'll be evangelists there, my friend. There'll be preachers there with their congregation. They'll be there in hell, wishing to God that they had obeyed, wishing to God that they had repented, but it'll be too late. But listen, my friend, no man can flee from the justice of God. If you cannot flee from the justice of God, then flee to His mercy. Flee to His mercy. I would say that to every awakened sinner who is listening to old Trailblazer, come on. Come with haste. Come sing, Father, I have sinned. I have sinned against Thee and Thee only. Have mercy upon me, Lord. My sinner friend, you who are not saved, you cannot fight against the Almighty God and win. You're a loser before you ever get started. As you look at the judgment of God, as set forth here in this 16th chapter of Revelation, which are most terrible and awful and unbelievable, but listen, we see that judgment apart from the grace of God does not, will not, never has produced saving repentance. No, they repented not to give God the glory. Now, my friend, It's an awful thing for me, the old Trailblazer, to have to come here. But I come here happy to warn you. Yes, happy to warn you to flee. To flee from the wrath of God. Old John the Baptist told that bunch of old snakes out there, them Pharisees, he said, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath of God? This ministry that we have here, the Radio Missions, the Voice of Truth, the Bible School, and the Trailblazer, all of this ministry combined, the one purpose is to warn sinners to flee from the wrath of God, and then to tell you of the saving grace of God, and to tell you that there's a way that been made open, there's a fountain been made open for sinners to come and be washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go home rejoicing day by day. Oh, it's not an easy road, no. It's not an easy road because Satan is right there, ready to snatch away every little tidbit out of your heart that you are holding on to of the grace of God. Yeah, he don't want you to be saved. Satan doesn't want you to be saved. He's got you where he wants you. You're his captive. You're asleep in his lap. He's rocking your dodo, patting you on the backside, and rocking your dodo slowly, 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 and sucking on the tit of the world. That's right, my friend, just sucking the tit of the world, and Satan patting you on the butt, patting you on the backside, keeping you like a little baby, it's only in mama's arm, and baby gone dodo, and mama's patting, he's got his pacifier in his mouth. That's what Satan does, my friend. Oh, he's a smart devil. He's not down there in the honky-tonk. He's not down on Bourbon Street. He's not down on the south side of Chicago. No, sir. He's in the big church. He's up here at the big church. And he's romping and stomping, my friend, and intimidating you, intimidating your poor pastor. Have you ever prayed for your pastor? Have you ever prayed for your pastor up there somewhere in Nebraska, in Virginia, and all those places where the folks write me from? You write me, but do you pray for your pastor? You say, well, I go to a good church, pastor. The preacher preaches the truth and the sovereignty of God and all. Well, do you pray for him? Do you hold his hands up unto the Lord? Lord, help my pastor. And then, if you will, I ask you to do this. Ask him one day to tell you how the Lord saved him. Oh, my friend, I'm not talking about putting him on the spot. I'm talking about just telling him. Pastor, tell us how the Lord saved you. Remember the old Trailblazer's address, the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Goodbye, and God bless you.